morning to the book of Revelation as I continue in my series on revival. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And I want to talk to you this morning about the greatest revival to come and the importance of that in your life and mine. Follow along as I read. I pick it up at verse 9. Revelation chapter 7, picking up at verse 9. After this, John, of course, is speaking from the island of Patmos. And he says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne on their faces and worship God. These are the elders. Many believe they are the apostles or the patriarchs of the Old Testament. And the four beasts are the seraphim, the great and powerful angels of God. And they were saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be under our God forever and ever. Amen. And John says this, verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Where did these people come from? Now I want you all to pay attention. So we read this. It's very important. The elder said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Note this. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So we recognize these people, this great multitude, went through a terrible time of suffering. And then it concludes, for the Lamb, which is Christ, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, Heavenly Father, I submit unto you myself to be your instrument to convey this important message to this particular flock. We need to be revived. We need to once again love to tell the story. We need to love to tell the story because without Christ, people are going to suffer a horrible life and ultimately die without Christ, being cast into eternal hell. Father, give us compassion. And may we be reminded you did not create hell for humanity. It is not your hope that anyone goes there. So Father, bless us, encourage us that we would be tellers of the story. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A Wisconsin company called the Three Square Market is now offering employees implantable chips. These chips will open doors, buy snacks, log into computers, and will also be used for office equipment, to activate office equipment, such as a copier and printer. Participating employees will have the chip implanted between their thumb and their forefinger. Some of you might have seen a clip or two of this on the news. This chip is an extension of the long contending implanting radio frequency identification chip. It's been out for some time. In fact, in 2014, the world radio frequency chip was on the market and was worth over $8 billion, that's right, with a B, dollars. And yet the market's value, according to the experts, is expected to rise to over $18 billion by 2026. Many of us believe that this could be the catalyst. Many of us who are students of the Word of God believe that this may very well be the beginning of the mark of the beast. You say, oh, well, those people that take it, they're going to be consigned to hell. No, it's not the mark of the beast yet. This is not the tribulation hour. Be careful of saying that. Please get your theology right, okay? But certainly the technology is here. The technology is here. For one man to come and to steal that technology or take that technology that exists and abuse it in such a way that that individual would be the most powerful person on the face of this planet, and that will happen. The day is coming and may soon be upon us. The world global market will only be accessed by chips where people will be able to buy and sell. You will not be able to buy or sell in the tribulation without the mark of the beast. I remind you, Revelation 13, you can jot it down and check it later, verses 16 to 17 says, and he cost all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive in their right hand. Maybe right where we were talking about. And some in their foreheads. They took this mark. We would look at it today very possibly to be this computer chip, this tracking chip type thing. And with this, the Bible says that no man might be able to buy or sell, save or accept that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Many students of the Bible believe that that chip will be prefaced with a number, just like your telephone exchange is 845. Well, his will be 666. Ladies and gentlemen, when wickedness dominates the world under the Antichrist, people will live in danger of becoming anesthetized to his potential power and pull. I remind you, the wrath of God, the wrath of the evil one, Satan, and even the wrath of man will be unleashed upon this planet during the tribulation hour. 7 years that is to come immediately after the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. Food supplies will begin to be exhausted and destroyed from the many, many, many disasters that occur during what the Bible calls the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the thunder judgments, which, by the way, are so horrific. John was told to close the book, not even the pen then, for the fear that would come upon the hearts of men. And then finally, recorded in the book of Revelation, is the bowl judgments, or what we call the vial judgments. In chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me in verse 5, the Bible gives us a little indication of what the world will begin to become immediately after the rapture of the Church of Christ. The Bible says, written by John the Divine, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast. Again, these are the angels, sometimes translated beasts. These are the awesome seraphims of God, the highest angels of God. Come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And so immediately the Bible is telling us that things are going to be very scarce and the price of these things are going to be inflated because many, many things will be destroyed through disasters. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, one fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. A little bit, I'll show you who those beasts are. We are already experiencing some of the things that the Bible talks about, because we're living in the time prior to the tribulation. And the book of Revelation, and some of you have studied it a number of times, when he talks about in the latter days, the world would be filled with pestilence and disease and earthquakes in many places. We're already experiencing that. Some of you are experiencing the pestilence, and those Greek words can convey the concept of tiny creatures or insects. One of the things that's inundated the Hudson Valley is Lyme's disease. Through a little teeny tiny what? Tick. That's pestilence. How many of you here have had Lyme's disease? There it is. It's proof. The Word of God is coming to pass. But that is nothing compared to what is to come. Now you're sitting here, I'm sure, and saying, well, what does this have to do about revival? It has everything to do about revival. Do you care that your neighbor might be left behind to come into that type of environment, that kind of a world? If you love to tell the story, just maybe they'll be saved from that. Folks, that is why we need revival. Because the Bible is not silent. The Bible is not hiding the fact that Armageddon will come. And people can laugh about it. They can joke about it. They can scoff about it. But just as sure as Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, just as sure as Jesus Christ was crucified and risen from the dead, prophesied by the prophets, so too will this come to pass. And I believe we're living in very close to the time of Armageddon. The day is coming where upon there will be great judgment and a purging of planet Earth. And we need many, many witnesses of the gospel truth so that millions are saved from this horrific period of time known as the tribulation hour, known as the time of Jacob's troubles. And I'll explain what that means in a little bit. But this is what revival can do. And the byproduct will be that many would be saved from the tribulation world that is coming, unlike anything that's ever happened. So I don't know if I believe you, preacher. You don't have to believe me. In fact, I don't want you to believe me. Let me ask you, if Jesus Christ was standing right here, would you believe him? This book contains what he has said. in Matthew chapter 24 and the 21st verse, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor there shall ever be." This will be the most horrific period of time the world will ever know. You and I have an opportunity to snatch our family members, our neighbors, our friends, and hey, even our enemies from that hell to come upon earth. I think sometimes when we think about people dying without Christ, we think about eternal hell. Yes, that is a truth. But I think for some, hell is imaginary. I do not believe that. But for some it is. But let me be clear. Jesus said there will be a purging of this earth. We need to be witnesses now. Because once the church is gone, the tribulation period begins. The judgment is coming. Today, the church, that means you and me, we are members of the body of Christ. Are you born again? Are you saved? Say, well, how do I know I'm saved? Well, ask yourself this, if you were to die right now, God forbid, but none of us know the day or the hour of our death. If you were to die today, do you know without a doubt, no doubt, I'm going to heaven? Amen is right. Because it's not based on me. It's based on the finished work of Christ. In fact, one of the things he uttered from the cross was Telestai, Arabic. He said, "Father, it is finished." Jesus paid the price of your sin and mine on the cross of Calvary as the blood of divinity was spilled, poured out onto the ground. And Jesus, in some way that we cannot understand, at his resurrection, took the blood to the mercy seat in heaven, which is pictured for us in the Old Testament, to justify you in the eyes of a holy God who cannot look upon you with your sin. Have you been saved? Say, I go to church. I don't care if you go to church, because going to church won't save you. I'm happy you come to church. There's a difference, isn't there? Church is not going to save you. Say, well, I come to church every week. Well, amen to that. I'm not asking you to come to church. I'm asking you, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him and Him alone? It's faith alone in Christ alone. If you add anything to it or take anything from it, it is not salvation wrought by Almighty God. It is a dogma of man. That's one of the problems we're having on this planet, is religion. Dover First Baptist is not about religion. Praise God, we got out of religion almost 30 years ago and exited a denomination that was going the way of pollution. Talked about that in our Sunday school class, didn't we? How Israel and Judah polluted the worship of God. Hey, we're doing the same. Thank God there are still remnants of believers who hold to the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the courageous men and women of Dover First Baptist Church who decided we need to be separate from the world and be obedient to God. It will cost us something. It already has. The question today is, please take this to heart. Do you care? Do you even care that your next door neighbor or your friend or your cousin, or maybe somebody that you love, but you've never told them about this? Do you even care that they might be left behind for this hell to come on earth? And what's even worse than that, if they don't get saved during the tribulation, they will die and go to a literal hell forever. The Bible talks about the greatest revival to come. And do you know that your witness and the witness of the 144,000 sealed by Almighty God talked about in Revelation chapter 7 is going to bring about upon this earth, is going to bring about the greatest revival that has ever happened. How do you know that? We started off reading about it. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude." You say, "Oh, okay, it was a big multitude." Well, wait a minute. The Bible clarifies what kind of a multitude, which no man could what? Hey, we have all kinds of sophisticated devices today that we can count things. And God knows all about that, knew all about that, before we even manufactured them. And yet the Bible says no man could count. And they were from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues of different languages. And they stood before the throne. And John, he's confused. Where did these people come from? And the answer is, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They went through the tribulation. But thank God that they got saved. Amen. You say, "But how can I help?" Let me tell you something. Your testimony, your witness, your love of God will be a witness to those left behind if they don't hearken to the fact they need to get saved. Amen. See, I think what's going to happen is a whole lot of people are going to wake up to your witness once the rapture happens. They're going to say, "You know, that Mary wasn't so crazy after all." Right? This is exactly what my sister Mary was telling us about. Because she wasn't crazy. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to get into their Bible. And they're going to go, "Oh, I missed it." But so many of them are going to know they have a second chance. God is the God of the second chance. It is unfortunate how they will die. It is unfortunate. But rather die in a hell on earth than to die spiritually in a hell forever. There is just no telling what kind of disasters are going to occur when millions of people are taken from this earth. When millions of people working in very critical, important jobs instantly are taken in the rapture. And listen, God has already been doing the compassionate things, even using the media and books like the Left Behind series, and even the film that came out with Nicolas Cage, which was taken from the books by Tim LaHaye. God is already in a loving way getting the message out there to the unsaved world. But guess what? The unsaved world often have dead, unregenerated hearts, don't they? And they need the witness of you and me. Are you happy to tell the story? Some of you have stopped. You've just given up. See, you have said, whatever's going to be is going to be. You know, it's going to get worse. Yeah, it's going to get worse. Do you care? Do you give what some say is just a rat's tooth about your family members, your neighbor, your coworker, your friends? Or do you just say, "Well, that's their business"? Have they told you that? I've had many people tell me, "I want to talk to you about this." And okay. God didn't tell us to take the Bible and hit them over the head. In fact, the Lord Jesus gave specific instructions. We talked about it Wednesday night. If you're denied to give the gospel, shake the dust off your feet and move on. But have you even done that? Or if you're looking out your window on Sunday, "Well, there goes Mary off to church. Isn't she a wonderful Christian?" How do you know? Just because a person says they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian. That term is used so broadly and so loose today, it's ridiculous. A true Christian is one who can put their complete faith in the Son of the living God, and in Him and Him alone. "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast." Because see, if we could get to heaven on the basis of our work, which is religion, we would just brag about it, wouldn't we? In fact, that's what you see. I know many religions, men and women all puffed up.
Oh,
like the Pharisees. Go and read the gospel accounts and how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. In fact, the strongest language that Jesus used was righteous indignation against the spiritual religious leaders of the day. He said, "You make your disciples twofold the child of the devil." Wow. He says, because you're not worshiping Almighty God. He said straight out to them, "Ye worship your father, the devil." Wow. That's what religion is doing. We're not about religion. We're about a relationship. We want to bring you into a relationship with Almighty God. How? The only information I have on that is from the Bible. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto my Father except by me." Have you came to Jesus? Said, "Oh, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. In my place on that cross, thinking of me for all eternity, shedding your blood, and proving to this world that you are God because you rose from the dead and justified me in the eyes of your heavenly Father." Now, the Father, God in heaven, looks on you once you've received Christ as your Savior without any sin. Do we sin? Yes. But we have an advocate with the Father when we do sin, Jesus Christ, who is the righteous one. So if we confess our sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have a lot more here to tell. Next week is a special Sunday. It is an opportunity for you to bring a friend to this church who does not know Christ as their Savior. If they're not saved, they're going to want to hear how much God loves them. Because there is a world coming where trauma is going to happen. The trauma will be the greatest where believers are raptured from various forms of transportation, like flight, rail, automobile, and so many other things. The Bible states categorically that when this happens, that men's heart will fail because of what is coming. I'm not making this up. I'm not fear-mongering. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. "Again, the word of the Lord Jesus, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations." We're already seeing that happening. I mean, we're being threatened every day by the North Koreans, the Russians and China. We're already seeing an amalgamation of nations lining up, just as the Bible declared. Did you know that the Bible says that in the latter days, the two nations most significant to rise will be the bear. The bear is Russia and China. Not only that, Iran, Turkey, and many of the nations in that league will align themselves against the nation of Israel. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 26. "Men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Folks, the world's social order will be changed. Martial law will be enforced to control evil elements. Governments will tumble. We know that. International disorder will pave the way for this charismatic leader that we all know as the deceiver and the Antichrist will then come, and the world will receive him happily. They'll be saying, "Here's our deliverer." But it will be a time that you're not going to be able to buy anything. You're not going to be able to sell anything. You're not going to be able to live above ground, as they say, without that chip. Or call it the mark of the beast, like the Bible says. The world will be changed economically. The world will be changed environmentally. Natural disasters will destroy one third of marine life. So how do you know that? Read the book of Revelation. That's what these judgments are all about. And the prices on seafood, of course, are going to be ridiculously high and become very difficult to purchase. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 to 11 says, one third of the world's vegetation and trees will be destroyed. So think about that. If we don't have vegetation, we don't have vegetables and fruits. One third of the world's water supply will be completely undrinkable. I wish I had time to tell you about the comet that's going to come, and it's called Wormwood. It's already there. NASA knows all about it. And when it hits this earth, it's going to contaminate one third of all the drinking water. So you see why the Revelation said these are those that hungered and thirst? Because that's what's going to happen. Now the question again to this audience is, do you care? Do you care that your neighbor might be left behind and after a short period of time will not have any means to get food, to get bread, and even in some cases to get sheltered? You say, but if this is going to happen, how will all these people get saved? Bible tells us, between the witness of you, the church, and the anointed witnesses to come, they are the 144,000 anointed men of God, called by God, Jewish men. Now we skipped that part in chapter 7. I would advise you to go home and read it, but very clearly chapter 7 in verse 1 through verse 8 speak of these 144,000 witnesses. You can call them Jehovah Witnesses if you want, because these are the true Jehovah Witness. Because when the church leaves planet Earth, God will still have a witness on this planet. He will have your witness. Remember, you're going to know these people. 7 years is not a long period of time. They're going to remember you. What are you going to give them to remember? Again, your neighbor might say, you're crazy. Let them tell you you're crazy. I don't care. You know how many times I've been told I was crazy? And every time they tell me I'm crazy, I just look to the Bible and just as God says, He laughs at their derision. We've got to hurry. These individuals will be anointed by God. And they will continue to tell the message of Christ. Our time's not going to allow us for the many other plagues and torments that will come, but be it noted, it will be so bad that men will seek death. Say, what? Yeah. And do you know what? Suicide will not be a way out. Go to Revelation chapter 9. Look at verse 6. Speaking about the tribulation days or the time of Jacob's troubles. And by the way, the reason why it's called the time of Jacob's troubles, who are the 12 tribes of Israel? They are the sons of Jacob. And if you read chapter 7, the Bible speaks that there are 12,000 witnesses, each taking from the 12 tribes of Israel. Folks, God is not done with the Jew. So many Christians today say, oh, the Jews were assimilated into the church. And in some degree, yes. But that doesn't mean that God's finished with the Jews. They are going to be the greatest witnesses ever, but through the worst time of history. Revelation 9, verse 6, and in those days, this is the tribulation, shall men, what's that say? Seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Is that what you want for your neighbor? Is that what you want for your wayward son, daughter? Is that what you want for maybe your dad. Maybe you're estranged from your father or your mom. Is that what you want? You say, well, that's what they deserve. Is it really? Do you know what every one of us deserve? Hell for eternity. You need to get the message because God has chosen you. You are of the elect. And your witness will have an effect on the greatest revival to come. Now, how much effect it has, it's up to you. It's up to me. Chapter 7 is a timeout before the seventh seal is opened, and an unsettling stillness and calm comes upon the world just for a short period of time. And then we go back to God selecting and anointing these 144,000. Again, take the time to read that. I have to hurry and close. The people saved during the Great Tribulation, the Bible says in verse 9, will be from all over the world. We already talked about that. History has recorded great revivals, but none of them will match this revival. And I'm happy as part of the Church of Jesus Christ to have a part of it. You say, I never heard this before. Think about it. Jesus is going to take his bride out of the church. We were supposed to be spreading the seeds. All the time, we're supposed to occupy spreading the seeds. And then when the church is gone, the cultivators, the 144,000, they will come. And they will be unprecedented in their witness for the Lamb of God. That's what chapter 7 is about. And there will be an innumerable multitude in Revelation 7 who will serve God day and night. This innumerable multitude will be saved from the tribulation. Here are the saints who came out of the tribulation. And the Bible in Revelation actually uses a Greek word that literally means who are coming out. Meaning it is progressive, it is in continuous action. According to the Greek, meaning it started at a particular time and continued onward. Because they don't all come at the exact same time. But through the 7-year period, many of them will die for their faith. And they will come to heaven, where they will be servants of the Lord. It is interesting that many of these individuals will die by martyrdom. Yes, and many of them will die through hunger and thirst and disasters. But Revelation chapter 20, go there and I'm just about done. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 talks about these individuals at the throne where they're serving while the church is preparing to come back for 1,000 years. And I saw thrones. Hope you're all there. I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were, what's that next word? Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That will be their reward. Amen. But they will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Not a very nice way to be executed. In fact, we have heard an awful lot in the last 5-10 years about beheadings. And it is cruel the way these evil people do these beheadings. But that will be the way of Satan and the Antichrist. We go to the final couple of verses in chapter 7 and I'm done. In verse 15, it says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared. I'm sorry, I got the wrong chapter. Verse 15. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall, what's that next word? Feed them. They weren't fed by the Antichrist, the false Christ, but they will be fed by the true Christ. Amen? And they'll live forever. and they shall lead them. God shall lead them through Christ His Son, lead them unto the living fountains of water. And note this, and God shall what? Wipe away all tears from their eyes. Amen. We serve a compassionate Heavenly Father. I close, and the question is this morning, are you going to be kind of like a Jonah and flee from the commission of God? Or are you going to share your faith with others? I believe that God preordained this message and even the song of the choir. You had no idea that I was going to preach this sermon. I had no idea you were going to pick that song, I Love to Tell the Story. But it is a good question. Do you love to tell the story? Are you afraid now to tell the story? And if you're honest and transparent before God, yeah, you are. Let's be honest. We are. Because the culture and the time that we live in is anti-Christian. So just admit it to God. God, I am afraid. Don't you think those First Testament, first century New Testament Christians were afraid? Yeah, they were afraid. They got bold pretty quick by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so can you. So can I. Are you praying that way? While the world struggles to validate their belief on more than they see on television, Christians have and always had the trustworthy scriptures to base their belief upon. When you witness to others, listen to me and I'm done, you could be changing their future forever. So are you praying for revival, both in your own life and in the life of others you know? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to start, as I close this service, with an invitation. If you're here today, if you're here in this sanctuary, you're not here by your own will. This is divine providence bringing you here. God loves you. He loves you in a way that I could never, in human words, convey. I would fail my God if I tried to explain His unconditional love for you. I'd say, look to the cross and see yourself nailed to it and realize Jesus was nailed to the cross in your place. It is called the vicarious substitutionary atonement for your sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did that for you, that you might be born again. He said, ye must be born again. If you can't say you were, well, born once, you die twice. You die physically, you die spiritually. Born twice, you will only die once. How many times are you going to die? And what about your friends, your neighbor, and your family? What about them? Father, I am exhausted, and I know that you wanted this message preached, because I, your servant, have resisted it. Lord, we know we live in difficult times. It's hard. And people will hate us. Help us to love them as Jesus loved us, that they might be saved from this horrible time to come. Lord, we do pray for the rapture. But that is somewhat selfish on our part, because there are many loved ones that need to know that this is going to happen. God, save their souls and use us, spark in us a love to tell the story. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.